About 30 years ago, on a cold January day, Hugh Herr and a friend were climbing Mount Washington in New Hampshire. They had made it up a difficult part of the climb when very suddenly, the light snowfall turned into something far more intense.
And, a blizzard condition set in. We got to the top of this ice face, which is about 800 feet. And we made the mistake of continuing towards the summit of the mountain in ever worsening conditions, blizzard conditions.
Hugh Herr was an expert climber, one of the top climbers in the U.S. He'd been climbing almost since the day he could walk.
By the age of 15, 16, I was climbing 1,000-foot walls, 2,000-foot walls, sometimes without a rope.
Wow.
So yes, it was a life of adventure when I was a kid.
But that day in New Hampshire, even Hugh's considerable experience didn't matter. He and his fellow climber, Jeff Batzer, were now climbing in whiteout conditions.
When we hit tree line, we had realized we had gone off course. But at that point, the blizzard was so intense that it would have been suicidal to retrace our tracks. The average depth of snow was to the waist, sometimes to the chest. It was very difficult to make progress.
Hugh and Jeff were trapped. And for 4 days, they huddled together in makeshift snow caves just to survive. The frostbite in their legs was so severe, so painful, they didn't think they'd make it.
We were in one of our snow caves. We had given up hope, and we were trying to accelerate the death process because we were in so much pain. And, this person appeared. We first thought we were, seeing things. We first thought this person wasn't real. But she was out snowshoeing for the day and came across footprints, seemed to be human footprints, and followed them to our cave. And we were ultimately rescued by helicopter and taken to Littleton, New Hampshire.
So initially, they thought that they would be able to save your legs, right?
I wouldn't go that far. The doctors were willing to attempt it, but In the beginning, they looked like biological legs that were simply black in some areas and swollen. But eventually, after a month or two, they no longer looked human. And at that point, mentally, psychologically, one, wants to get rid of the legs that really cannot even be labeled as legs anymore.
Hugh Herr's transformation would begin the moment his legs were amputated. At a rehab center, he was fitted with these clunky, uncomfortable prosthetic legs, and his doctor warned him that he'd have a long and hard recovery.
And I said, I want to return to mountain climbing. I want to ride a bicycle. I said a few such things, and he said very quickly that climbing was out of the question. I might be able to ride a bicycle. And he said, I'll be able to drive a car, but through the use of hand controls. So I was devastated by the conversation. Then I realized he had no idea what climbing was, and so he had no real authority to state that I would or would not be able to climb again.
Losing his legs seemed like the ultimate transformation, but the real change in Hugh Herr's life was just beginning. He picks up the story from the TED stage.
I didn't view my body as broken. I reasoned that a human being can never be broken. Technology is broken. Technology is inadequate. This simple but powerful idea was a call to arms to advance technology for the elimination of my own disability, and ultimately to the disability of others. I began by developing specialized limbs that allowed me to return to the vertical world of rock and ice climbing. I quickly realized that the artificial part of my body is malleable, able to take on any form, any function, a blank slate for which to create perhaps structures that could extend beyond biological capability. I made my height adjustable. I could be as short as 5 feet or as tall as I'd like. So when I was feeling badly about myself, insecure, I would jack my height up. But when I was feeling confident and suave, I would knock my height down a notch just to give the competition a chance. Narrow-edge feet allow me to climb steep rock fissures where the human foot cannot penetrate. And spiked feet enable me to climb vertical ice walls without ever experiencing muscle leg fatigue. Through technological innovation, I returned to my sport stronger and better. Technology had eliminated my disability and allowed me a new climbing prowess.
And as he returned to competitive climbing using prosthetic legs that he designed himself, Hugh got more and more interested in how to make those legs better.
So I invented this prosthetic foot made of polyethylene blades coated with sticky climbing rubber. And you could put the blade into the crack and rotate the leg and wedge it and then extend the leg and make progress up the mountain. So that was a lot of fun. But people, of course, accused me of cheating. I just said, you're free, completely free to amputate your own legs and achieve the same competitive advantage. But no one took me up on it.
How did you take that leap from being told that you would not be able to do this definitively to telling yourself, I'm going to do this?
Perhaps I'm stubborn. You know, some people view an artificial limb as something that's depressing, the source of disability. I viewed it as a source of adventure, of potential, because I realized that through innovation, through design, that artificial part of my body could be anything I wanted.
So if losing his legs was the first transformation, and then designing his own prosthetic legs was the second, he was about to undergo the third and possibly most profound transformation yet. That story in a moment. I'm Guy Raz, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. And on the show today, transformation, stories and ideas about a life completely changed by choice, or in the case of Hugh Herr, by circumstance. So we were just hearing about how Hugh lost his legs in a rock climbing accident, and before it happened, he wasn't particularly interested in math or science or technology. What he really wanted to be was the best rock climber in the world.
But then after the accident, when I experienced how hideous and pathetic and unsophisticated prosthetic technology was at that time, I became interested in design. I designed my climbing limbs, and I was successful at that endeavor. And it kind of drove me towards studying mathematics and physics and later engineering. And it turns out I loved it. I had an absolute passion for those topics.
So as he worked to improve and perfect his own prosthetics, Hugh decided to pursue mechanical engineering and then later a PhD in biophysics, and he became convinced that he could transform other people, which is what he does today. Hugh leads a team of scientists at MIT working to solve one simple problem.
In the world of design, we have no idea how to attach synthetic structures to our bodies in a healthy, comfortable way. The example of shoes giving us blisters, isn't it extraordinary? Like one of the most mature, oldest devices on the human timeline, the shoe. We
right.
still don't understand yes. how to design the damn thing.
Right.
So every device that attaches to our body, you know, women with bras, braces, prostheses like eyewear can be very, very uncomfortable. You know, right now, if you ask, 100 persons with leg amputation, what's the number one problem you want solved about your artificial limb? Probably all 100 would say it hurts. You know, please fix that.
So Hugh, he set out to do just that.
What's dropping down?
Oh my God.
The woman on this recording is, for the first time, trying out a pair of bionic legs designed by Hugh Herr and his team at MIT.
Oh my God, I can't believe it!
She can now walk up and down stairs.
It's just like I've got a real leg!
There's no handrail, she's not using a cane, no help from anyone, because inside her legs there are 12 tiny sensors that feed right into microcomputers.
Very small computers. The surface area roughly of a fingernail.
And those computers run algorithms that decide how to tweak tiny motors in each leg, which control
how the limb should move, how it should stiffen, how it should power itself.
Hugh wears a pair himself, and he says these prosthetic legs with power, with moving parts, designed to mimic the force of normal muscles, could transform life for disabled people of all kinds.
Now, turn around and do the same thing walking up. Walk up, get on your heel to toe like you would normally just walk on level ground. Try to walk right up the hill.
Oh, my God.
Is it pushing you up?
Yes, I can't even describe it.
It's pushing you right up.
You guys just don't know what it's like not to have that.
It's amazing because it's almost like this kind of drove you to reimagine who you were, who you are, who you were going to be, and what this disability was going to mean. And it's almost like you kind of turned it into something that made you like better and stronger.
My new body with biological leg amputations is not necessarily a disability, right? The disability comes in if the technology is inadequate. If the technology is very good, it's simply a condition, but it's not a disability. So that's the world that I envisioned and the world that I'm working towards technologically.
Over half of the world's population suffers from some form of cognitive, emotional, sensory, or motor condition. And because of poor technology, too often, conditions result in disability and a poorer quality of life. Basic levels of physiological function should be a part of our human rights. Every person should have the right to live life without disability if they so choose. The right to live life without severe depression, the right to see a loved one in the case of seeing impaired, or the right to walk or to dance in the case of limb paralysis or limb amputation. As a society, we can achieve these human rights if we accept the proposition that humans are not disabled. A person can never be broken. Our built environment, our technologies, are broken and disabled. We, the people, need not accept our limitations, but can transcend disability through technological innovation. Indeed, through fundamental advances in bionics in this century, we will set the technological foundation for an enhanced human experience, and we will end disability.
What do you think it is that allowed you to like almost regenerate, to kind of accept and then to embrace a transformation that you didn't ask for?
I mean, I think at the core is a thing called creativity. But key to being creative is imagining what hasn't happened yet, imagining what the future can be, and believing in that dream so wholeheartedly that you inspire yourself and the world to actually transfer dreams into physical objects, into technology.
Hugh Herr runs the Center for Extreme Bionics at MIT. To see his talk and the amazing work they do, go to TED.com. Our show today, ideas and stories about transformation, the people who look at their lives and say, I'm going to change this one thing, or maybe everything.